All right, I'm going to have this fun little microphone. Welcome to our session for children's. This goes until about 11:05-ish. But my name is Courtney Harris, and I am the children's ministry. I know a lot of you, but some of you I don't know. Tonight, I have the privilege of introducing Whitney Hill. She has been teaching Sunday school over 10 years, and she has come to just give us some words of wisdom and examples of how to bring the lesson to life. So just join me in welcoming Whitney.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Is it on? All right, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that you would be glorified, that I would just decrease so that you could increase, Father. I just ask right now that the people in this room would be encouraged, that they would be uplifted, that they would know that they are useful and needed and loved and adored and appreciated. We love you in Jesus' name. All right, so on your tables, you have had some Legos, okay? Some of you started building. What are some of the things you started building?
Well, I started building a little attack boat with treasure chests in the back.
Ah, an attack boat. Okay. Anybody else? A building?
A tower.
A tower. What did you say? Ah, doors and gates. Very good. What I when I was asked to teach this and to speak to you guys, the thing that kept coming across my mind and my heart was connecting the dots. Did all of you grab a sheet when you guys came in from in front? All right. Thank you. And it is really just connecting the dots, trying to connect what we are teaching in live Bible study to the kiddos, making it come alive, making it maybe interesting, finding some point, some nugget that they can grab and hold on to and take with them during the week, and that they can share with their family, they can share with whoever they come across. So what I decided to do, before we go over this little dot to dot, I decided to go ahead and share one of the lessons with you guys. God has a sense of humor, because as of yesterday, I was going to teach the first unit of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus. God had laid upon my heart so many amazing things about the women, about the number 14, about gematria, about all these different things. And I was ready. And he's like, I really want you to do this Sunday's lesson. I was like, but God, that's not what I wanted to do. And he said, no, come on, study it in more depth than you already have. So I started looking at this lesson. And if I hope and pray that you guys have already studied and you're already prepared for Sunday if you teach here, which is Nehemiah's building of the walls in Jerusalem. And so we have done so many things with building the temple when everyone has come back from Babylon. They have been held in captivity and they've been released because there was a change of heart by the king to allow them to return. And so while I was reading this, God said, I don't want you to focus on the wall. I want you to focus on the gates. So one thing that I do when I'm reading the scripture, and we're going to go over this in a little while, is I read through the whole scripture. And the first thing is I do is I just watch for repeating words or themes or something that's in there. And so as I was reading it, that's what he was telling me about the gates. And so although I will not go into this much detail with some of my kiddos in fourth grade, and some of you probably would not go into that much detail, especially with the littles, I wanted to show you that there is a way to incorporate the gospel from the gates that are there. How many of you have studied the gates in detail? Okay. It's been a while. That's excellent. So, as you know, we've been teaching the littles that they have been taken from Babylon. They were held in captivity, the Jews. Then they were released. They were put back, and now they already started building the gate. They started building the temple. It's really different hearing yourself with this when you're not talking. Okay, so they started building the temple. Last week we learned that Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer to the king, went to him and asked him if he could return to help build this temple because he was heartbroken that it wasn't being built. So when he returned, he goes there and he stays quiet for a few days and he waits for his time to let the people know that they're ready to start building. And his encouragement to them was, arise and build. And they did, even though there was some discouragement. So, thinking about gates, do you know any scripture that go with gates? That talk about gates, besides Nehemiah and the wall? That's right. Jesus is the gate. Anything else? Possibly. I don't know that one. Okay. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Okay, so it's a narrow gate that we are called to go through. And then John 10, 7. So Jesus again says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door or the gate of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door or the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So Nehemiah 3:1, it starts out that the high priest and his brothers, I found that very important, started building this gate, the sheep gate. In our Christian walk, when we become a Christian, it is us recognizing the sheep. It is us recognizing the Lamb of God, right? Okay, and so that's the beginning of our journey. That's the beginning of our relationship walk. And that's where Nehemiah starts in his story, is at this sheep gate. And I find that very interesting, okay? So when they're talking about this, here's a picture of it up here. There's a sheep gate up in the upper right corner. And it says they consecrated it. Why in the world would they want to consecrate a gate? What is this gate used for? Do you have any idea? That's right. The lambs that are coming in. And what I love about that is the last lamb that ever really needed to be slaughtered was our Heavenly Father, was Jesus Christ. And right here, that's where he starts. He starts our journey at the sheep gate. I also love that once it goes through and gets to the last gate, the next one right to it is the sheep gate. Okay. All right. So here we go. John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we have to enter this gate to receive salvation, right? So we can use that with our kiddos. We can tell them that he started with the sheep gate. That each one of you, if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is where you start. Okay? So then, next was a fish gate. Why do you think they needed a fish gate in this city in Jerusalem? Okay, feed the people with what? Fish. Who was coming in? The fishermen from the Sea of Galilee. So there apparently was a fish market, and this gate, they could come in, and they could go to this market and I guess, what? Sell their fish. And what I found interesting is, between the sheep gate and the fish gate, Nehemiah mentions two families along this wall that were building or repairing the wall between these two gates. So for a split second, let's talk about this. Why do they need a wall? Protection. Why do we need the gates, or do they need the gates? okay, to get in and out, okay? But they didn't want just one entrance, okay? There were a variety of reasons where they needed to get in and out. So this fish gate, I find it interesting. After we become a Christian, what's one of the first things that we start to do or need to do? Okay, we can feed others with what? Okay, with the word. And what does he call us to become? Fishers of men. So we go here from our sheep gate of becoming a Christian, accepting the Lamb of God, coming here to this fish gate to where we are called to evangelize or to tell others about Jesus and to have fishers of men. So I think that's a great tool to use with your kiddos. I mean, just they'll recognize even the littles that we're supposed to be fishers of men. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So after we accept Christ, we're called to evangelize. Then it's interesting, there's a little bit more space between the fish gate and the old gate. There's about four families mentioned, okay? So when we become a Christian, between these gates, I want you to kind of think about the wall as our time to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. I find it interesting that from the sheep gate to the fish gate, it's smaller than from the fish to the old. So let's look at the old gate. On this gate, as opposed to the first one, priest built it, brothers built the fish. The old gate, it was two people and we don't really know how they're connected. So this is where we have to rely on one another. Sometimes we are going to have to rely on someone that we don't know. Some people say that the old gate is just there because it was there for the old city. Other people say it's just there for different reasons. When we think about old, what do we think about in God's word? Old Testament. And what's in Old Testament? The law, the things of that we need to study. Even today, don't we need to study history in order to not repeat it and to really see God's hand in history? And even in God's word, it says in Deuteronomy 32, remember the days of old, remember the ancient days. So once we become a Christian, once we start telling others about Jesus, life starts to happen, doesn't it? Sometimes we start questioning what we even believe. We start questioning, why are we going through some of these things? How many of you have ever heard of a mountaintop experience? Or this is the honeymoon phase. Everything is great. Well, that's when we go back to the old. We go to the truths. All of the big questions that we ask the kiddos, we have them, does God keep his promises? Yes, God keeps his promises. All of those things. So with that, we go to the old gate and we hold on to those truths. Well, now, eight different groups start to build the wall between the old gate and the valley gate. It's a longer time between the old gate and the valley gate. When we think of valleys, what do we think of? Okay, both of those things. We think of hard times. Sometimes we think of sorrows. We think of like what the gentleman was talking about downstairs, possibly some of the kiddos' parents going through a divorce. We think about maybe there was a bully at school. All of these things are valleys to those kiddos, and we have to recognize that they go through those. But just like he just said, what if you look at a picture of two big mountains and a valley in the middle, the majority of the time, what are you going to see in that valley? You're going to see that green. You're going to see that vegetation. You're going to see that growth. And while we are here in this valley gate, you guys, that is where the growth is going to happen. It's going to hurt, but that's where the growth is going to happen. In Psalm, what does it say? Even though I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So, is it better necessarily to just always be on a mountain and be on that mountain high? Or is that valley going to be beneficial to us? It's very beneficial, and God's going to show us some stuff. What is he going to show us? Isn't that interesting? Thank you, Nehemiah. He was our cupbearer last week. The dung gate. What is dung? Poop. Okay, but I want to think about it kind of like as the city of Houston. How would the city of Houston be if we had no place to get rid of our garbage? What would it look like? It would be nasty. It would stink. It would be terrible. Jerusalem, same thing. This was a gate in which they could use to take all of their trash out. There was a valley there that they could throw all of it down, and they burned it. They didn't just throw this away, you guys. They didn't just say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore. They took it out and they burned it, okay? And it says it's about 1,500 feet or so from the last gate. So for the city to actually have a way to dispose of their garbage, they had to have a system, and this was it. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Galatians 5:17. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. So now in the scripture, he's showing us what that dung is. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Putting math in there. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sometimes when you guys are in this valley gate, when you enter that, he's going to show you some of that that you've got to get rid of. Okay, and he gives you a way to get rid of it. As I was thinking about this, Matthew 11 came out. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places. I'm going to say that again because that never caught my attention before. It passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finding none. It says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and it brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. It goes through a waterless, looks for a waterless place. Why? Why would all those things that God wants to take out of each one of you and each one of your kiddos, why would it look for a waterless place? What does water do? It cleanses. Which is ironic that the next gate is the fountain gate. We have to have this in order to truly get rid of all of those things that God is showing to us. Because guess what? If we don't take it out and burn it, it's going to come back. So, another interesting thing, there's no mention of anyone building the wall between the dung gate and the next gate. It could be that it wasn't destroyed, or it could be that it just didn't need to be worked on. It could just be that they were right next to each other. But this fountain gate, it was next to the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. Okay? Proverbs 14:27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Zechariah 13:4. In that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for impurity. So I think that this fountain gate needs to be by the dung gate so that we can have that Holy Spirit to help us find that dung and get rid of it once and for all. So I think that's really important to me, that the fountain is really the Holy Spirit. And then look at what comes next. Water, which is very similar to a fountain, but it's in the eastern wall. It's closer to the temple. When we just kind of talked about it, what are some of the things used for with water? Like you said, cleansing, purifying, what else? To drink, life. What do we see almost every Sunday here? In baptism. Okay, Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word of God. But John 4:14, but whoever drinks of that water, I will give, he will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Matthew 3:11, I baptize you, what? With water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Which is interesting that after that dung, what did they do with that trash at the dung gate? They burned it. So we have that fire coming in there too. Okay, that's what the Holy Spirit does. All right, so we have this Watergate, very, very important. Then one group prepared a session, and then we have this horse gate. The next three are kind of interesting just in themselves. Why would they need a horse gate? What? Ah, that's what you, yes, when we see the horse in the Bible, especially here, it's a symbol of war. Did Jesus come into Jerusalem riding on a horse? No, he was on a donkey. Okay, so this horse gate is if anybody needed to come to the temple and they rode their horse, they could come in, they would tie it up. And it's close to which gate over here? The water gate, so they could get water. And so, like you said, for life, for sustain, to drink. All right? And when we see this, Revelation 19, what do we see him riding in on? A white horse ready for justice and war. You guys, we are all in a war. Not a physical war. A spiritual war. And that's, to me, these next three are kind of keeping our eye on eternity. And encouraging our kiddos that there's more than just what's happening around us right here. There's a battle going on in the heavens. Okay? So, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, excuse me, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Ephesians 6:12. How can we encourage our kiddos to be ready for that war? It's found in Ephesians as well. Putting on the full armor of God. And y'all, these are things we've taught the kiddos. And so if we can just kind of instill this into them, I mean, this is the gospel. The East Gate, and I don't know how to say this guy's name, Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, I don't know. He repaired it and he guarded it. This is the only gate that needed guarding. It was near the temple. How many of you have read from Ezekiel 44? Then the man brought me back to the East Gateway in the outer wall of the temple area, but it was closed. And the Lord said to me, this gate must remain closed. It will never again be opened. No one will ever open it and pass through, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered here. Therefore, it must always remain shut. Only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence, but he may come and go through the entry room of the gateway. Y'all, we have to keep an eye out. That's the gate he's going to come back through. So we've got to have an eye for eternity, okay? We've got to keep our eyes open, just like with the horse gate. There's that spiritual battle. We want to keep our eyes open. This East Gate, that's where he's supposed to come back. 2 Peter 3:11-15. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth, which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. We have to live our lives with an earthly mind. I'm sorry. Yeah, with eternity in mind. So then there's three families or groups that are building between the East Gate and the Inspection Gate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. From coming. That's right.
It's interesting that they know that's where he's supposed to come.
And that they're going to take all those precautions. Yeah. That goes crazy. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. On the white horse.
Surrender. Allenby was General Allenby. Well, Allen Bay turns out to be Son of God.
Huh.
Nobody had ever seen an airplane before. This is 1913, shaped like a cross going through the sky. They surrendered. And the gate wasn't open.
And so going even. Yeah, going back right here to the old gate. We have to go back to the old. We have to know the history. We have to know those things. And I'll tell you what, I'm not the biggest history buff, but I have been studying and learning and trying my hardest to learn more of it, because all of those little bits and pieces, when you put it together, like we said, we're connecting those dots. We're taking what has really happened, taking this Bible lesson that is just some lesson out there. Like, how is that relevant? Well, this muster or inspection gate, possibly east, north, east wall, south of the sheep gate, only mentioned here in the Bible, and we must all go before inspection or our judgment. When is that? Our judgment day. Matthew 25, 31 through 33. As the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Why do you think he told us that? I think he wants to motivate us to be the sheep, to seek the Lamb of God. I mean, I really think that that's the goal. And I never in my right mind thought that this, having a little bit of a story, could help us tell the gospel. And I think only God could have done that. Only God could have done that. And so like this Sunday, when I teach this, I will not go into all that depth with them. In depth with them, but I will teach that, and I'll go on to Nehemiah completing the wall and all of the gates in 52 days. 52 days, even though there were people there that were fighting against him, to where they had to do what? Build and guard. They had to keep their eyes open. Y'all, the same thing happens to us every, that's how we should be thinking about that spiritual war. We should be preparing. We should be living. We should be loving. We should be going out, but keeping our eyes open to the things that are around us. And before we started this, when Ms. Kim was asking me to do this, I kept asking God, what verse could we use for connecting the dots? And it wasn't until later this week that God showed me in Nehemiah 8, chapter 8, verse 8, and I'll read it to you guys. They read from the book, from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense or the understanding so that the people understood the reading. I'm going to read it one more time. The LBS teachers and children read from the Bible, from the law of God clearly, and they helped give understanding to the kiddos so that they would understand what they are reading. Nehemiah 8:8, God answered my prayer and he gave us a scripture, and I encourage you all to study, study, study to get ready for Sunday mornings. As you all have noticed, that my husband and I dress up. So, for example, like this is one of the things I might wear because he's in a construction zone. He's building. They're building. It's just something to grasp their attention. It actually all started with a company, LuLaRoe. I started wearing some of their goofy leggings and stuff, and it went with the lessons. And then God was like, see, they're catching on to that. I can always say to them, hey, y'all remember when I wore that army jacket? And they're like, yeah, you were Naaman. And I mean, like, they can, then they remember the story, and we're connecting it. So if you would, get that little piece of paper out that I gave you guys. All right. Took me a long time to find a place to get the dot to dot and to learn how to do it on the computer, but I did it. I was so excited. If you want, you can connect the dot from 1 to 2 and then just write maybe a keyword or something on there if you feel the need. And you notice there are 14 points because that was going to go with David and the genealogy. And, oh, okay, because it started with 10. All right, so number one, the first thing I do is I pray and I ask God to open my eyes and my heart to what he wants to teach me and then the students. So pray. What does he want to teach you? Because once he teaches it to you, you can't help but share it with your kiddos. Okay, so that's 1 to 2. 2 to 3, which is my number two. I read the scripture. You guys, sometimes I don't even make it to the summary that comes with our lesson. Sometimes before church, I'm like, oh, I didn't read that. Maybe I should read that and see if what God has laid on my heart has anything to do with it. Yikes. Because I rely on that scripture. So, read the scripture. The next one, the next line, guess what? I read the scripture again. Brother John, who used to be the pastor here, used to say he would read the scripture 7 times before he would get up to preach on it. I haven't quite made it to 7, especially when we have those lessons that are like 10 chapters. That's good if I get through that one twice during the week. But it helps to prepare by reading not just what they have provided for us, which is great, but to read God's word. He speaks to you guys. The next one, I look for keywords. I look for repeating words. Keywords or repeating words? Do you need one of these? Oh, you got one. Okay. The next one is a snack. I was told by Miss Tania, if you feed them, Whitney, they will come. She's right. So on your desk, what I did for you guys is I gave you a little snack. And what they are little pretzels. What do they look like? They look like the gates. How many are in your bag? 10. There are 10 of them in there. Just as a little reminder that there were 10 gates that we talked about. And yes, I have some sort of snack every week. If there's not one on the lesson, I will go out and get it. I gotta have it. And then I look at activities. What activities are going with what God is teaching me? Here, I'll do this so that maybe it won't go to sleep. Door decorations. This is, like I said, you don't have to do any of those things, but this is what I do to prepare. And then I draw a little diagram of what I want my door to look like on the outside. I get here, I go in, and it usually takes me 5 to 8 minutes probably to throw something up on the door. But you guys, it has opened the door even with parents. There are a couple parents that used to just send their kids up, and now the father comes up, especially after he came up when we were speaking on Zerubbabel, and he was like, and I had the name tag Zerubbabel. He's like, who is Zerubbabel? And I was like, look at the door. And then I told him a little bit. He's like, ah, Ah, and now he comes up. Last week was the first time he and his wife came up, and he said, hey, honey, now look. Okay, you see what they have up here? City of Susa. You see him? And my husband was out there with the big old thing of cups, and he's like, oh, he's the cupbearer. And it was nothing. It didn't cost anything. It wasn't anything. It was just a visual. And the kids came in, grabbed a cup, and went to their seat. It was nothing. Then I do outfits. Yeah, I know. Not just for me, but for my loving husband. I get him to do all sorts of fun things. So that's what I do. So now what I want you all to do is I want you to ask God, what is your thing? Your thing can't be my thing. My thing can't be your thing. We all have to have our own thing. And that's okay. We don't want a cookie cutter life Bible study lesson. We don't want to come up and all the doors are the same and all the teachers are dressed the same. And we want each one to have their own unique thing. 10, get out of your comfort zone. It's okay to do something different. It's okay to come in looking like a fool sometimes. But it gets a point across to those kiddos and they remember it. My next one, no need to copy anyone. God has given each one of you tremendous gifts. Tremendous gifts. Some of it can just be in the way you set up your room and when they walk in and the activities that they have going on. All of those things. Some of yours are newsletters. Oh my goodness, I wish I could also get the newsletter going or write to all my kids and do all these other things. And now those are my goals, but I haven't yet got to that. The next one, work together. This is not just your team in your Sunday school, I'm sorry, LBS department. I'm talking whoever you're talking with outside of the church. I know on Sundays we usually go as a family out to eat after church. And so they're always like, all right, what is it next week? And so I throw out the story for the next week. And then it's like a session of, what could you do? And then all week I'm getting little text messages or phone calls or did you decide? And we're talking about it. I'm talking about my mom and my aunt, my lion husband. So this is one thing we did during Daniel in the lion's den. I was a lion tamer. And he was the lion. And I asked the kids, who is your lion tamer? Who is the one that is going to tame all those things that scare you? Get out of your comfort. Yes. Well. Oh, and I will tell y'all one little story about him. Yes. When he dressed up as the lion, I walk in and I'm watching him and he's over there kind of whispering to one of the boys at the table. And I'm like, what are y'all talking about? What is it? And the little boy's like, nothing, Mrs. Hill, nothing. And I said, what is it? He said, he told me not to marry a woman that makes him dress up at church. So the next one, make a connection. Make a connection. Whether it is you with the child as they walk in, make a connection, whether it's you writing a letter, whether it's from God's word to something that's going on in their lives, make that connection. And I love that that's what Pastor Greg said for one of his L's was making that connection. And then last but not least, just have fun and love your kids. Have fun and love your kids. They love coming in, getting a hug, telling you about their week, doing some sort of activity, and they do. They just adore it. So what I want to do is I'm going to pass out one more thing to you guys. What I have done is kind of set up a chart for you guys. I don't know, have you all received the scope and sequence for the next? Okay. Even though you don't, it's okay. Go ahead and follow along. Sure. So what I've done, and I'll just keep one real quick. what I've done is I've kind of gone through the next few lessons. All I got from Miss Kim are the dates and what the story is about and the scripture that goes with it. I did get, you know, the big question and all that. But what I wanted you to kind of see is this is my mind frame. I should have changed it to something like, come see how crazy my mind thinks when I'm preparing for these things. But, you know, at school, I do the same thing with my outfits. Every day that I go to school, I have some sort of either historical or science fact, and I wear something that has to do with it. So every day when they walk in, just like Wednesday, it was a dress with some like little gold glitter or something on it. And they were like, okay, tell me. I said, June 24th, 1848. There was the beginning. They found a big old piece of gold and it was the beginning of the gold rush. Okay, it was so simple, but yes, so hard. Because I'm now like, honey, look at the history facts, help me. But it's those little things that the connections are being made. All right, so looking at this. So for January 28th, which is this weekend, we're teaching on Jeremiah's walls were rebuilt. To me, the key words were gates. The door ideas, okay, wall with a gate in the room, I can have labeled gates, pretzels that look like gates. So I kind of go through this every week, and I try to figure out, okay, what? How can I make this connection? Just like my husband drove up, and he was like, why are those gates in our driveway? He said, oh, because you're going to bring those, and those are going to go by the door. So you all walked into the learning gate, okay? So if you look at February 4th, Ezra read the law, Nehemiah 8, 1 through 12. When you read through this, you're going to see something that we just learned about. The Watergate has nothing to do with President Clinton. Okay. All right. We'll also see the word Nixon, joy. And we'll also see book of the law. Okay. So those are just words that I saw. You, when you're reading it, look to see what's being repeated. What is God showing you? You know your kids. You know what would speak to them. And so the door ideas, maybe a water gate, maybe what I plan on doing is standing on a chair or a table or something and putting some construction paper around it, make it look like wood, because he stood up on that and he talked to them. Okay, and so that's top of a chair or table covered in brown paper that looks like wood. So a fruit roll-up with pretzels or a scroll or food and drinks, because he told them when he was teaching them, go eat and drink and be merry. Okay, so any of those things can work. So that's all I've done. So you guys can look through. Oh, my gosh, y'all. When you look at February 11th, it could not have been more perfect for Valentine's Day. I was reading that, and I was like, ah. Okay, y'all, it said they will be mine. Ah, hello, the little hearts that say mine. Oh, my goodness gracious, grandmother, y'all. That is so amazing. I just thought that was so much fun. Perfect timing, and talking about the Lord's love, and good job. Now, are those the softer ones? Okay, because there is I don't like the soft ones. I like the real hard ones, but I'm going to double check, because what I like to do with those, I learned this from Mr. Langford, is you get like a little heart doily and you write the word Valentine down the middle. Have y'all all seen this before? Oh my gosh. Okay. And then, but you can do for God so loved the world. You do John 3:16, and each one of those letters in Valentine is part of the verse. I'll have to look and see if I can get one of those real quick and show that to y'all. So anyway, and then they can have one for themselves and one to give away. Which February 18th, this is the one I had planned to do. God said no. So from Abraham to Jesus, Jesus was born. And so the words that kept coming out, the number 14, I really wanted to get what's his name? The KC Keenum jersey. I was thinking, oh, please be 14, please be 7. Oh, I was like, well, okay, 7 times 2. But It still might happen. And so I was thinking an apple, because we're talking about family trees, and I could say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, something like that. Jesus at the temple, y'all, it was the first ever Amber Alert. That one just cracked me up when I thought that. Okay, sorry. Okay, but I still haven't gotten the snack. I don't know what goes with a missing child, okay?
Flashing lights.
Flashing, right? Yes, I know. I was thinking, how can I make that? But anyway, yes, you know, and then, you know, I mean, you could go so far with that. Ah, there we go. The missing kid. Very good. Okay, you see how it goes? You start thinking about these things. You all remember, were y'all in there when we were doing this with Miss Kim that afternoon, and we started talking about Jonah? And my husband had the great idea of swallowing live goldfish. Because, you know, he did. But y'all, okay, I do have to tell y'all a little bit about that, because that was like one of the funniest days ever. He had these fish swimming around, and he did. He swallowed them. Every time there was disobedience, he swallowed a live goldfish, and he was just like, oh. Then at the end, he had the little goldfish crackers in his pocket, and he's like, I feel them swimming. And he goes, bleh, and he pretended to vomit, and he threw all of the crackers out onto the kids, and they screamed and went all the way to, yes, Miss Kim is kind of scared about some of the things we might or might not do. We have fourth grade, don't try it with first grade. But the kids loved it. I had a couple of kids, what are you eating this week? So then when we had locusts, I tried to get the chocolate-covered crickets and that kind of stuff too. He stayed hunting an extra day so he didn't have to come in and do it. All right. March 4th, Jesus was baptized. Some words, John, Jordan, dove, Isaiah, prepare the way. So on the door, maybe water with dove, maybe blue jello, maybe something with honey. Why would I do something with honey? Locust and honey. Uh-huh. Or maybe just some dove chocolates. Okay, that's easy. And Jesus was tempted. The words, 40 days, fasted, tempted, tempter. Wilderness maybe on the door. I don't really know yet. Bread and water really make them mad. March 18th, a donkey, palm branches. Maybe have some fabric or some robes or something out in the hallway so that and some palm branches. You have two what?
Are you gonna
ride around?
She just told me
I
could. But you know what that doesn't mean.
Darn it.
Have you ever, what would be cool is getting the kids to wave the palm branches.
Yes.
I mean, you've done a sheep.
I know, right? What's a donkey? We got a miniature one. It's really nice at my uncle's. So with this in mind, this is kind of what I do every week, just in preparation. I just kind of, like I said, I start with, okay, God, what are you going to teach me? Like I said, he blew me out of the water with this, okay? And I just wanted to share it with you. I just wanted you guys, he was like, hey, maybe someone just needs some encouragement, and that's why I want you to do that instead of the genealogy of Jesus. Because, like, really, the genealogy of Jesus, when you read those verses, you're like, and so and so, and so and so. So look for those key words. I promise you it's going to do this. Okay, so what I made up here real quick. Okay. Hold on. I don't know if I can pause it, but this was back to school Sunday, so I did a little, I did an automatic. Okay, we'll let it go through for it real quick, and then I'll tell you about it. So, broom tree. They had a feast with Daniel. They had to be invited to the table. No, that one, no, it was so bad. Okay, y'all, that was one of my favorite ones, but bow down or else. And they see the little fire. Look at their facial expression, y'all. Ezekiel, the dry bones. I couldn't find anything. I had to use it. Oh, see, Pastor Greg, he did Star Wars, Stars of Peace. I was like, he was the cupbearer. I told the story through cookies. I'll see if I can pause this in a minute so you can actually see what we've done. All right, so here we go. Let me see if I can just get it to stop on a picture. Is there any way to pause it? Do y'all know? Shouldn't you just be able to say, like, Alexa, stop? Okay, so here. I'll just kind of do this, and then I'll be able to see them and kind of explain. So it was back to school Sunday, last minute thing. I was like, oh, back to school. And so it was a sheep. So we had these little bags of popcorn, and it took a while. I made these little faces with googly eyes for the sheep, and they all had a little snack of popcorn that looked like a little sheep, okay? Then, yes, I asked my husband to please let us buy a sheep for the next lesson. It was Isaiah 53. Whoa. Jesus is the Lamb of God. But let's just look at their facial expression. That said it all right there. They came in, they had pictures taken. Mr. Hill got to walk around as the shepherd with a sheep with the diaper on and go to all the classes. It was great. It was great because then you had to think about, oh my gosh, we're talking about a lamb, Jesus Christ, being led to the slaughter. It was like, that poor little thing. All right, then we had the Harvey. So all I did is I painted my fingernails the same colors as the Skittles. Yes, he stayed in our backyard, and we kept him through Harvey in our garage, and it was so much fun. And then my daughter tried to teach him to use the doggy door. It was crazy. So that, oh, no. And it's still, okay. Well, so I had painted my fingernails with the Skittles colors, and it was just, you know, one of those colors represented something we were praying for. Oh, I really wanted this one to be seen. So you saw me sitting underneath a broom with all the little brooms. That was my broom tree. The kids still come and say, Mrs. Hill, you know that's not what a broom tree looks like, right? I'm like, I know, but guess what? You still remember him sleeping underneath that tree and the story that goes with that.
I saw one in Israel. Saw the broom tree in Israel.
Yeah?
It does look like a broom.
Does it? Hey. Yeah, but I mean, it's just a visual. And guess what? That I never would have remembered something about a broom tree, you know, especially as a kid. And now that's what they're remembering that. They're remembering that he was running for his life. You know, I dressed up as a runner. And you know how the little running things have all those. It was the scripture. It's just all these little things just kind of, like I said, come to the mind of a crazy one. So here we go. So we had the locust. So I had a cricket locust kind of monster thing out front. And it really looks like caterpillars, but it's one of my daughter's favorite snacks. And she was like, do it. So threw a few grapes on a long toothpick, put a little bit of icing and a chocolate chip, and there you go. They loved it. This was Daniel. And after we had this entire lesson, we then moved out into the hallway. I don't know if any of you guys came by and got to see what we used, but I did the entire lesson kind of like, I don't know, like you're going on a trip and you're going to see everything. So for our snack that day, we used granola mix and trail mix, and they got to make their own, and we went out and we reviewed every single lesson from that unit. And there was just little things out there, like, for example, they were able to look at this and remember they had a feast of fruits and veggies and water. And let's see if I can get this here. So, like we said, Daniel in the lion's den. Okay, we had lion cookies. And then this was one of my favorites. This whole thing was talking about Jesus coming back, and that whole week God was saying, focus on that first scripture. Focus on the first scripture. So they came to class, and we got the beginnings of it made. They each had a little bitty piece of a limb, and we had drilled a hole in the side, and we took a little bitty leaf, and then I put the little hook on there, and then they got to finish it. And see, I'm thinking of the future. When we talk about Peter, that's what he gets to dress up as, y'all. I'm so excited. And then we made some little cupcakes. Yes, he does. And a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. So when we talk about in Matthew 1, when we start talking about the genealogy, I will also bring out that ornament and remind them about this. And then they'll be, oh, that's right. And hopefully they'll say that, not like, what are you talking about, Miss Hill? So then bow or else, that was just a big statue, nothing. So then they were rebuilding the temple. So like, once again, construction, throw on the same thing. It's no big deal. When they come in, they're going to know, oh, wait a minute, we've seen that. We're talking about some sort of construction. So like I said, we have a snack, we have the door, and an outfit. Am I telling you to do this? No, 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 no. Oh, back. Okay, Ezekiel. So on the door, them bones, dry bones. Okay, and then just little silly skeletons. Yes, he tried that week. And so the kids were like, can he join us in Bible study? So that's one of the things that we do. We now all go, because I used to just stand up and talk to them, and now we go to the floor. And we all just kind of sit in a big group. I make sure they have their Bibles out and they open their word. And if I'm not going to read the whole scripture to them, or they're not going to read the whole scripture to me, I have beforehand picked a good variety of those, because we're not going to read 10 chapters if that's what our lesson's about. And they can, but every week they will have a Bible open and they will see it, because that's even from Nehemiah 8:8. Read from it so that they can understand it. And that's the goal. You want them to understand it. You want there to be a connection. One of our activities here to the right, I went to the Dollar Tree and they had these little bitty skeletons and they just popped out. So I brought the little bags of skeletons and they had little races and they just put them back together. And they thought it was the most fun. I was like, that was the best $2 I ever spent, you know, for that. Because they were like, because I told them beforehand, tell them to walk. Tell them to, you know, and they were like, it's not going to do that. I said, but God did. God was able to do that. Oh, yeah. Back to the Jews were taken into captivity. Like I said, there was no card for me. I had to use my daughter's multiplication card. Oh, my gosh. Every week he's rather confused. So when Pastor Greg went up and he spoke, I guess it was Christmas Eve, and he started talking about the Star of Peace and kind of comparing it to Star Wars, I was like, yes, because there is that connection. Do I know anything really about Star Wars? No. I called the wiki wacky, I don't even know what I called it, but I was like, yeah, isn't that what it is? And he's like, but then one of the parents came to me that week and they told me, hey, my daughter was so excited to have the Star Wars because she doesn't know anything about it. And she was so excited that you didn't either. I was like, success. But, okay, so one of the snacks that they suggested on our package was to do little graham crackers, and you put them together to make a star. And I was like, let's do the apple. Have you ever cut the apple in half? And there, it makes a star. Some of them had already seen it. Some of them had not. And it was just another way of having, I guess, just a handheld object. Okay, so emojis. They were, how were you feeling? All of that went with because Nehemiah was scared and he was crying and he was mournful because he did not want to be like that before the king. And so we took that in Nehemiah, the cupbearer. So they all had a cup. And then what I did is I made these cookies. And no, the first one is not poop. Even though my kids all said it was, and no one would take that one at the end to eat. Oh, they hurt my feelings. Those are the walls. Okay? I know, you think it's funny. Okay, so those are the walls. So this was the whole story. The walls were torn down and burned. He fell down to pray. He was super sad. He was the cupbearer. He had to go before the king. He was scared to do so, but he asked for permission to go through the forest and to the city beyond the river and to inspect. Dun, 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 dun. Come on, Inspector Gadget. Okay. Okay. So he had to inspect the walls, and they had to rise up and build. And so I had them sitting there, and we went through the whole story with those cookies, and then they got to make their own little emoji cookies afterwards. It was just sugar cookies from Kroger, and it was just, it was fun. They had fun doing it. Look at those faces. I mean, some of the ones that, okay, this little guy right here. I was like, what is yours? And he said, my Nehemiah is super sad. Those are big tears, Mrs. Hill. I was like, ah, you got it. You got it. Okay. So with all that being said, and now I'm really early. Well, what time is it? Oh, okay. So I'm not too bad. So with that, I just want to ask you guys, what are some things that you all do to prepare for your lessons that I might need to take on? I might need to do the same thing. What are some things that you all do? Do you prepare for your lessons? One thing.
Plus that way I can hand it out to everybody else and they can sort of see what we're doing and the time that's allotted, which will help me, you know, they'll sometimes motion for me.
Right.
So that we get to everything that we need to.
Right. Because I have no problem with getting done on time and focusing on all those other things I'm supposed to focus on. Right.
At the most an hour and 15, but it's more like an hour by the time they all get there.
Yeah. Right.
We have to be out of our room by 10:30.
Do you all use the activity sheets that they give you?
Yes.
Is that an intro activity when they come in?
As they come in. And then the
no.
Well.
What grade do you teach? Fifth. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's a... this is the first year that I've had a group of kids that come up and they were like, I don't want to do those sheets. So what do? I bribe them. I have, if they finish it and it's done well, correctly, they can go to the cabinet and they grab a little piece of candy. But now they're like, the ones who's like, I don't want to do it. Even at the beginning, I was like, I wanted to say, your father works here. Are you sure you don't want to do this? Now she comes in. It's not even a question. She does it. She goes to the back. They grab a little piece of candy out of the little jar. And next year, guess what? I might not have to do that. And believe me, I won't start the year with that. You know, but when I see that there's such hesitation to start something like that, I have to find a way, okay, how can I get them to do it? Especially on those days it's a really good one, that it makes that connection. Okay? Anybody else? Yes.
One of the things that I've had some kids that were very shy, and I have a real hard time getting them to want to participate or do anything. So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God finally showed me. He said, I write plays.
Okay, yes.
Like that. And so God said, take the story and make it into
script.
A play.
Yep.
And so
how did they like that?
Oh, some of them absolutely love it. Others are like, it's okay, you know.
But yet they participated.
They participate. And then I've actually gotten some of them, they like it so much, we go to some of the other departments and the kids will put on the play.
That is fantastic. See, and now they're able to share with others. It's not just for what they're doing. They're able to show off, you know, and do their thing. Oh, yes.
And, you know, that's been one the kids love. I'm not an artist, but I made this big fish. And one was with the mouth open, and the other was with them inside the fish, you know, and they walk around. It's just, it's hysterical.
I love it.
We did a play. We did a Western Esther.
Okay, yes. So did we. Right. But then they felt a sense of belonging or a sense of ownership.
They were all wanting to have a part. So I took the lone parts and divided them and switched off halfway through the play.
I love it. You know, one of the things we did when the kiddos were taken into Babylon, when they came in, they all received new names. Okay, so, but you know, we're talking like Ariel and Cinderella and Babu, and I mean, all these pretty much Disney characters, or some others, not Bin Laden, as someone wanted to give one of them. Yeah, like, you see, I have to deal with all the time. But, and then even now, sometimes they come in, I'll be, oh my gosh, what was your Babylonian name? And then they remember, there's, yeah, because you took me into captivity. And, you know, and so they're able to kind of make that connection. Anything else that you guys have done that, yes, sir? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Are you at the early one? At the 9? At the 10:30? Yeah, no, at 9, I mean, we're waiting for them to get there, you know. Do you? Okay. Right. Oh, right.
And I had them put them in a little bag. They drew the emotion and they did it, had to act it out, and kids, other kids had to guess.
Right.
Then we did the one with the balloon that she had.
Oh.
And it was, this is my friend Harry, and he's sad.
Oh, yes.
And then he'd had a very bad day.
And then
just when he thought it
couldn't get any worse. Right.
Who should you go to when you're sad? Who do you talk to when you've had that really bad day? Well, you should go to God. Who else can you go to? Now, if you talk to God about it, you're still feeling bad. Who can you go to? Well, your parents are there. God provided you.
Right. And so you can just keep going with that, and it opens up that door.
And then we talked, well, we're going to read a story about someone who could have gotten killed.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Were you finished with what you were saying? Yeah. Right. It does. Because then, I mean, when you can go into that and say, do you realize he had to drink that before the king to make sure he wasn't poisoned. And if it was poisoned, what would have happened to him? Do you want that job? I mean, we could go so far into so many little bitty pieces of these lessons. I'm really trying to work. Kim challenged us not to say stories, and I'm working on that. Okay, anybody else? Yes. Yes. They do. They do. More about each other. I love that. So you're making that connection, not necessarily just with you and them, but amongst themselves, and they're getting to know each other. That's fantastic. I love that idea. He makes this newsletter, and there's a little part of it. And every week when they come in, they get this newsletter. And it says, who am I? And there is, isn't it like some information about them? Mm-hmm. And so they get to see.